Welcome to this edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Luann Crane here with Ryan Dobson. And Ryan and Doctor, we actually have preempted what was scheduled for today, which was an interview with Dr. and Mrs. Dennis Rainey, because there's an urgent issue that you need to bring to our listeners' attention, Doctor.
Well, Luann and Ryan, the issue of religious liberty is at stake today more than ever before. And this issue has reached a boiling point where the constitutional protection that's given to us, guaranteeing freedom of religion to every citizen, is now in serious jeopardy. And we need to talk to an expert on this subject who will bring us up to date on what's happening.
Well, Dad and Luann, the perfect person to talk to us about that is Mr. Chuck Colson, and we have him on the phone right now.
Chuck, I appreciate the opportunity to talk to you today. I'm thinking back of the many times that we have come together to express our concern for what's happening to our country, and especially to the issue of religious liberty. And you sent out an email that I just got. I just came back into town. I've been in Southern California. And this email said something that I've never heard you say before, that the present crisis that we are experiencing with what the White House has done to assault religious liberty, it exceeds anything that you've seen in your lifetime, and maybe from the days of the founders. Explain what would make you express it in such stark terms.
Well, because we finally reached the point, Jim, that many of us, and you and I have worked together on these issues over the years, and you were with me in the founding of the Manhattan Declaration 2.5 years ago, many of us have feared that if it really got to the point where we would be forced to choose between God and Caesar, that we would have to act with civil disobedience and disobey Caesar. And we ended the Manhattan Declaration with those stirring words, "We will render ungrudgingly to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, but never under any circumstances will we render to Caesar what belongs to God." And so when we wrote those words 2.5 years ago, and you were part of that process, and 500,000 people have signed the Manhattan Declaration defending the sanctity of life, the sanctity of marriage, and religious liberty, we always figured this might happen someday. Well, this is the first time. I didn't expect it this soon. The Obama administration has drawn a line in the sand. They have said, we are going to decide what kind of insurance you're going to give your employees if you are a religious organization, and I think you're employing over 50 people. You must provide insurance for abortive patients, which is pills to kill a baby, for sterilization, and for contraception. Now, a lot of Christians, a lot of evangelical Christians, are as concerned about the birth control as, of course, the Catholic Church is. So the Catholic Church has been the first one that has fired back, and most of the press, and you've seen just a tremendous amount of press over the last several days, most of it is focused on the Catholic Church. But, Jim, I've been talking with some Jewish leaders. I've been talking with evangelical leaders. We are all in exactly the same boat, because if the government can tell us what the limits of our faith are and we can't practice it, and if we do practice it, we're going to be fined with punitive fines, we're all going to have to exercise civil disobedience.
Well, you know, as an evangelical, I feel just as strongly about abortifacients and the evil of the morning after pill as the Catholics do.
Oh, of course, but it's a bigger issue than that. It's a bigger issue even than what they're demanding here. If they can demand this here and get away with it and make it stick, then they can tell us how to live our lives, what we can believe, what we can't believe. Remember, it was 2.5 years ago that Hillary Clinton gave a speech at Georgetown, and she said there are three great human rights: the right of people to organize their governments for themselves, the right of a person to love any other person in any way he chooses or she chooses, and freedom of worship. And I jumped on that, and I'm sure you did at the time, and most of us realized what she was saying. Freedom of worship is a private act. It's guaranteed by the Chinese Constitution. You can have freedom of worship in a state church in China today. Freedom of worship is a private act which you can do anywhere. Freedom of religion is the free exercise of religion, which means living your life with your religious convictions guiding what you do. And it takes religion into the public square. One is private, one is public. It's a huge difference. And this administration has been using the term freedom of worship. Even in directives from the State Department, officials of the State Department are told to use that language. I have not seen freedom of religion mentioned by an official of the Obama administration. Mm. Maybe they have, but I haven't seen it in the last 2 years. And President Obama, I've watched him carefully, use freedom of religion only once, and that was when he was talking about the mosque in Ground Zero. So there's a concerted effort to privatize religion. Religion is fine if you want to practice it in your church. It's fine if you want it in your Bible studies. You can do all those things. You can worship any way you want. But don't tell society how it has to behave and do what society tells you or government tells you.
Well, Chuck, you're a constitutional lawyer. I'm not, but this sounds flat out unconstitutional to me.
I don't think there's any question, Jim, if they make this stick, and of course it goes to the courts, it'll go through. It may go through on an expedited process, but it's going to take a long time to get to the Supreme Court. The present Supreme Court, I have the slightest doubt, would uphold our position. Now, if Obama's reelected, and who knows who's going to be on the Supreme Court, maybe we'd lose it. But it's so blatant, it's so flagrant. And, of course, the Obamacare package, which all of us at the time worried about because we worried about death panels and many other things, and everybody told us we were extremists, you had a 200-page bill, which nobody read, with a lot of general provisions, all of them up for interpretation by the Department of Health and Human Services. You got Kathleen Sebelius, who has nominally a Catholic, who has been very, very aggressively pro-choice and pro-abortion, and has made comments derogatory to Christians who disagree with her. So, yeah, I think constitutionally we would win, but what happens in the intervening 2 to 3 years that it would take to get that court decision handed down could be unbelievable damage. And it's a little bit like unscrambling eggs. There's no way to get the eggs back into the shells. I mean, if we see a rash of these kind of executive orders, and we've seen them over the last 6-8 months, just one after another, denying exceptions. They went so far as to argue for no religious exemption of any kind. And, of course, they got struck down 9-0 in the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
But this administration is in favor of eliminating all religious exemptions.
Yeah.
You're going to do what the state does. You're going to do what the state tells you you can do.
There,
that's why I said it's the most threatened, the greatest threat I've seen in my lifetime to religious liberty, because if we were to lose this, we could no longer define our own faith.
There appears to be a sinister motive here in this present issue that extends beyond the decision itself that has been made by the president. He seems to be going somewhere with this.
Oh, I think it's quite evident. It's quite evident from history, and I think the Weekly Standard a couple of weeks ago talked about this. Every government that has sought to increase its own power has tried to deal with eliminating or marginalizing the major threat to its ability to do that. The major threat to its ability to increase its power is the church, which worships a higher power than the state. And we are the only organization that does not owe our ultimate allegiance to the city or state in which we live. Our ultimate allegiance is to God. That is a threat. That was a threat to Stalin, Hitler. It's been a threat to politicians of all stripes through the years. It's why the church is always a target. It's why, remember why the church got persecuted in the first centuries. It got persecuted not because they followed Jesus. That was okay. It got persecuted because they wouldn't say Caesar is Lord, and for that they were thrown in the lion's den. It's the story of how the church began, and the whole question is where is the supreme authority in society? Is it in the White House, or is it in God?
You know, the founding fathers went to war, went to the Revolutionary War over this issue of religious liberty.
Sure. Absolutely.
I wonder how much guts we have to defend what we believe.
We're about to find out.
You really believe that?
Oh, we're about to find out. These guys aren't backing down. If they're smart, they'll back down temporarily and then wait see if they get reelected, and then Katie bar the door. But I keep thinking Obama's smarter than this. He's allowing this thing to grow and grow in intensity, and that's the very thing that is the most likely, as Peggy Noonan said in her column this past weekend, to beat him in the election, because people are offended by this. You know, one of the interesting things, I've talked to many of the Catholic bishops, and we've had great discussions over the last week. Every one of them told me the same thing, that they have conservatives and they have liberals in their archdiocese or diocese. And this is the first issue that's ever come along that has united them. The liberals in the diocese are just as upset as the conservatives, because it's not so much the issue of contraceptives that is bothering them, where a lot of Catholics are liberal and disregard it. It is the issue of whether the state can tell the church what its worship consists of and what its faith believes. So this has galvanized what is 25 million Catholic, quarter of this country, quarter of the voting population is Catholic. And you've got a huge percentage of a voting population which is evangelical. So if our people, I'd say our people, if believers, followers of Christ, those who believe in the authority of the Scripture, those who believe that Jesus is Lord and are willing to confess that, that it's going to, however, come to this, unless they back off, which we're seeing no sign of. In fact, Kathleen Sebelius' statements over the weekend doubled down. They've gotten tougher. And you know why, because Axelrod tried to explain all this in the New York Times on behalf of Obama, and basically what he said was, we have constituencies, the women demand these rights, we believe in this, and we can't retreat from this, because it's a woman's right to get insurance under Obamacare that will pay for contraceptives or morning after pills.
Chuck, I know that you've been through a medical procedure and you aren't feeling real good today, and I told you I would only keep you a few minutes. And let's take the last couple of minutes for you to tell us what to do about it now.
Well, the first thing to do, of course, is to write your congressman and senator and call. There has to be a flood of protest. We're organizing. The Beckett Fund wrote a great little petition to the president. It's on the Manhattan Declaration website, manhattandeclaration.org. Every listener, thousands came in today, I think there were 20,000, should go to the manhattandeclaration.org, sign the petition, and while they're at it, sign the Manhattan Declaration if they haven't done that, because we'd like a million names to say to President Obama, you don't think we're going to stand for him? You don't think we're going to fight back? I think we have to draw that line in the sand, Jim. I think the other thing I would say to people, get yourself informed about this decision. Don't just go out and say, well, the Obama administration is trying to cram this down our throat. Figure out exactly what they are saying and why they are saying it, so that you can explain this in an intelligent manner to your neighbors. I honestly believe, I've been talking to a number of rabbis, they're with us completely. I believe that Muslims, I believe that Jews, I believe that Christians, I believe a lot of non-believers would be infuriated at the idea that the first liberty and protection guaranteed in America, freedom of conscience, called the first liberty, would be compromised, and we'd have to live in a society where we couldn't exercise our conscience freely. That frightens everybody. I mean, I don't know many people I've talked to, except this would not apply to the cultural elite who really believe that they know better than the people how to run the government. So if the people will give them all the power, they in turn will let the people do what they want. That's the bargain. That's a Faustian bargain.
Well, we've been losing our liberties on many fronts in the last few years. And as a matter of fact, religious liberty is the fundamental liberty on which everything else is based.
Correct.
And we're doing two programs next week on this subject in a little broader way than what you and we are talking about today, but we're going after this. We absolutely cannot remain silent, and we will not remain silent. Mm. And I know there are just millions of people out there that will agree with us. And so I appreciate your letting us know about it. Chuck, please stay in touch with us. I've always leaned on you to elucidate these kinds of issues. And for you to say, this is the scariest one of all, I mean, that gets to me.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is the ultimate one, Jim. I don't think there's any way. We are forced into a corner. We either have to pay huge penalties, punitive fines, which would put you out of business, or we have to compromise our conscience.
How dare the White House do this?
I know.
This is arrogant beyond belief.
Well, I tell you, I'm listening to your voice, and I'm listening to the Jim Dobson I've known over the years. I'm listening to the rage build, and I'm glad, because we have to stay firm. There is no way we can equivocate on this issue.
Mm-hmm.
And the bishops have all been meeting on it. The Catholic bishops have said they will not compromise. We've all said the same thing to one another. If we end up in jail, we end up in jail. But we're not going to give in on this issue. You can't.
Mm-hmm.
You are quite right. This was a foundational principle of this republic in which we live, freest republic in human history.
And it's in the Constitution. I mean,
clearly.
It's right there. How can a president do this when it's in defiance of the most foundational document on which this country is based?
Well, and when you stop and think about it, Jim, God created us in his image. The Imago Dei is the greatest contribution to civilized society that was ever made. And when the Jews and the Christians came in from the Middle East into the Greco-Roman Empire, they scandalized it by talking about every human being had human dignity. Freedom is therefore the first gift of God, because we are given a free will, we are made in his image, we have his characteristics, we therefore, freedom is built into the design of human beings. So to tell us that we don't have the freedom to follow what God tells us and our conscience directs us is absolutely scandalous. It's scandalous, and it's got to be stopped. And we need an outpouring like we've never had. Now, you and I have done this many times, Jim, and you've gotten switchboards jammed up in the Congress, and you've gotten people parading out in the streets and marching. This is a time when no Christian should sit comfortably in his pew or his living room feeling secure in his faith. He should be angered by this, but don't take it out with anger. With love, go ahead and argue the truth and let people know that we won't compromise. That has to happen now.
Chuck, we'll join you on the front lines of this battle. So
Amen.
Let's continue to stay in touch, and I appreciate your letting us know today. And thanks for giving us the last drop of energy that you have in your body.
It actually is. I've been at this 12 hours today, and I'm recovering from surgery and a fall and all that stuff. But it doesn't matter, Jim. This is the most important issue. I really think the most important issue I've faced in my ministry, and greatest threat to America, the greatest threat to us as Christians. So I'll give it my last drop, and you do exactly the same thing.
And prayer is the centerpiece of our effort, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, God has to step in.
Absolutely.
But maybe God's using this as an opportunity. You know, you have to wake people up. The church has been very complacent in America, very complacent. This may wake us up, and if it does, it could create a revival. A revival could turn around the nature of this culture, and that's really the ultimate goal. Politics is just an expression of culture. This may awaken the church enough, and Calvin said, when the church is really acting as the church, it will inevitably transform the culture around it. That's what's needed, and maybe God's giving us a wake-up call.
Thank you, Chuck, and God be
Thank
with you.
Jim.
Okay, bye-bye.
God bless you all.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks.
And our thanks again to founder of Prison Fellowship, Mr. Chuck Colson, for joining us for this urgent message, Doctor.
Yeah, you know, I have been working with Chuck Colson for 25, well, more than that, since 1981.
Mm.
And this man has been a mentor to me mm-hmm. when we're talking about national issues, because he sat, 25, 30 feet away from the president and had more authority and more power in the White House in the Nixon administration than anybody else. Of course, he went to prison for the Watergate fiasco. But I have never heard him talk like this.
Me neither.
I mean, there is urgency that we've got to take seriously.
It's as if this is the watershed moment for him, that he sees our future going one way or another, and the way that it looks like it's going towards the erasure of religious liberties, the tearing up of the Constitution, it is a dark day.
Mm-hmm. We cannot compromise on our relationship with the Lord.
Yeah.
See, what really concerns me is that this is not the first example of incursions on our freedoms or incursions on our religious liberty.
Mm-hmm.
Right here in front of me is an email that I received from Congressman Randy Forbes. We've had him on the program before.
Yes, we have.
He's out there fighting for what we believe. And the Air Force last week changed its logo to remove a Latin reference to God after receiving complaints from the Military Association of Atheists and Free Thinkers. I'm telling you, they buckle, they get one letter, they get a complaint, and all of a sudden they're going to change.
And it's not the majority of the United States people are coming out saying we can't put up with this, we can't handle it. It is the tiniest group of people that are saying you can't do it. The other one that just came out was when General Boykin was supposed to speak at West Point at the prayer breakfast. Okay, I'm talking about a prayer breakfast.
Yeah.
He's going to speak at this, a man with moral and religious convictions. The left went crazy.
Mm-hmm.
This man has literally defended the freedom of speech with his own body, and he's told you can't speak here because of what you believe.
West Point did this.
And you know what he did? This is a true gentleman. He stepped down voluntarily. He said, the issues with me are overshadowing West Point and overshadowing the prayer breakfast. It's not about me. It's about prayer and West Point, and stepped down.
Well, if he'd have called me, I would have given him different advice because we have to draw the line somewhere.
Right, but they seem to be coming new attacks every single day, Doctor. I mean, every day we walk into this office, we get another preposterous story like this coming across the
airwaves. Well, and look what happened with the Ninth Circuit just a few days ago, striking down, declaring unconstitutional the votes of the majority of Californians.
Mm-hmm.
They voted twice.
You had your chance. They voted twice. You lost. Yeah. You lost. It's okay. Come back next time. But don't overturn democracy.
Whatever happened to the words of Abraham Lincoln at the Gettysburg Address when he said this is a government of the people, by the people, and for the people? When three judges can declare the will of the people to be unconstitutional, and only two of them voted to strike it down. The other one voted to preserve it. I mean, something is way out of whack here.
And Mr. Coulson put it rather soberly when he said, now may be the time that we have to stand up with civil disobedience. I'm reading here, Doctor, from the Manhattan Declaration, the whole passage there on religious liberty. And he cites that section of Acts 4 where Peter and John were ordered to stop preaching. And it comes down to this. They said, judge for yourselves whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God, for we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. That's the bottom line. As a Christian, it may come down to me saying, am I going to obey the Lord or my civil authority?
That's it.
Yeah.
Our website contains all the information
Absolutely
we were talking about
everything.
Today, how people can respond.
Luann, I have to say, that was beautiful. That was absolutely perfect for this moment.
It's what it comes down to. And, Doctor, there are really two things that Chuck Coulson pointed us to today for a point of action. The number one most urgent request was that we sign a petition that will be sent to President Obama to specifically stop this. I'm looking at it right now. The numbers are ticking up as people individually sign this petition. We will have a link to that at drjamesdobson.org, as well as information on signing the Manhattan Declaration.
And call your representative and tell them you will not stand for this. The phone number to call is 202-224-3121. Again, 202-224-3121. We'll also have that posted at drjamesdobson.org.
Burn the switchboard.
Yeah, absolutely.
Burn it with calls. Mm-hmm. Melt it down. This is a point where we absolutely cannot remain passive.
Well, Doctor, this was so important that just yesterday we sent out an email blast to all 250,000 people on our list. In fact, some listeners have gotten that information, and I would encourage people, this is the time. If you are not on our mailing list or our email list, contact us. We'll give the phone number in a minute. Get on that, and you would have known this information yesterday.
And don't forget to listen to Family Talk next week, Wednesday and Thursday, where we have three gentlemen.
Yes.
I'm telling you, that is powerful stuff.
You did say that it was probably one of the most important programs we've done.
I believe that, and so was this one today.
And so, Doctor, just to recap here quickly in the close, listeners can sign the petition to the president, sign the Manhattan Declaration, and get the information on contacting their congressman. That'll all be available at drjamesdobson.org.
You can also call us. Our number is 877-732-6825. And thank you for listening to a special edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk, and we'll see you tomorrow.